You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4.
Gunshots are part of the oral backdrop here at the CLA Game Fair. It's clay pigeon shooting over there, of course. Nothing live is involved. Gunmakers Row, though, is just over there, where there are all kinds of implements that are used for shooting in the countryside. It's a very popular part of this game fair, which covers a vast array of country sports and pursuits and all sorts of things like, well, there's a stand over there for luxury pet sofas, lots of clothes, lots of food, some nice game for sale. It's really a celebration of...
Be brought up into it, I think. Totally, totally different way of life.
But it's lovely to see all the old crafts being celebrated, isn't it?
I quite agree, yeah. I mean, this is the old-fashioned way of doing it, and it is the best way of doing it. You can buy factory-made ones, but handmade ones are by far the best, especially if they're made, especially for the horse.
Did you learn this as a boy?
I did. When I was 16, left school, I was straight into the job. And my master had us doing this right from day one. We were shoemaking right from the start. He learnt his trade down the pit, so thank goodness I didn't have to go down the pit. But
so you made a lot of horses very happy.
In my time, yes.
Comfortable shoes, great.
Well, I've got 9 kits in there that are 11 weeks old. And I've got my display team, which range from 5 to 6 years.
I'm deep among the ferrets here. They're all over the place. Simon Whitehead has the ferrets. Well, now, what makes a good ferreter?
A good ferreter, willing to learn, listen, respect the animals you work, because you're only as good as the animals you work, respect the countryside, and have an in-depth knowledge of the quarry, because if you think like the rabbit, you're going to manage the rabbit better.
That's lovely. What a lovely dog. What's the dog's name?
Rosie.
Hello. What do you enjoy most about it?
I think just seeing everybody wandering about, and the dogs in particular for me, I think.
You worry that a lot of people, you know, grow up, it's not their fault, but they grow up in even towns or great cities and they never, just never sense what the countryside's about.
Yes, I think that's probably very true. So I don't know where the animals that they're eating come from or anything like that.
Yeah, I always remember a friend of mine whose daughter, I couldn't believe that bacon was made from pigs, and she wouldn't eat bacon again after that, but she would eat sausages that were made from pigs because she didn't know that.
Yeah, well, nobody break the secret of sausages to her. Well, with me here in the grounds of Harewood House is the Earl of Harewood. The place is looking magnificent this morning. And, of course, we do have to begin with the Harewood-Harewood business, don't we?
I suppose we do, yeah.
Because the family has always been Harewood, but if you, you know, come up the road from Leeds, people say, oh, you're going to Harewood House.
Yes, I mean, it's one... My father always used to call it Harewood. I've always called it Harewood. But if you get a taxi from Leeds Station, you ask for Harewood, otherwise they don't know where to go.
Well, we'll just leave that one to stick to the wall. I mean, there may be... You were saying to me earlier that the original spelling may not have had the E, which was put in at some point because of local pronunciation, and that's where the confusion has come from.
Old maps, 17th century maps, actually before the house was built, don't have an E in the spelling. So at what point and why that E sneaked in, I don't know.
Well, people managed to live with it. You mentioned the house first built in mid-18th century, which is on a hilltop, really, or a rise, not far from where we're sitting now, an absolutely magnificent country house. It's interesting what the position of historic houses is, because clearly, I suppose what we might call the Downton effect has probably increased the number of visitors who come to see very fine country houses. What is the challenge now in trying to run an estate in a country house, which has to be a functioning business?
Well, Harewood is really now, it's not one business, it's several businesses which interlock, hopefully support each other. That's the house and grounds which are open to the general public, about 200,000 plus people a year, I mean, excluding obviously events like this. That's run as an educational charitable trust for the public benefit. We run an education program. We have a fantastic historic collection in the house. We also show contemporary art, try to keep the house and its collections alive and relevant and in the 21st century as it always has been.
And they're also, I mean, you've got the Emmerdale set. on the estate, haven't you?
Yeah, the other big aspect to the business at Harwood is the way we run property. Emmerdale is a particular part of that, except that Emmerdale is on the north side of the estate. They, in effect, rent a field from us and have built an extraordinary model village there. I mean, the village set. But we also rent out, we renovated farm buildings, which are now rented out as offices. Now we still have a few, not that many, of the houses in the village belong to the estate, which we rent out as well.
And of course, many of the great historic houses in this country are embedded in our national story, and they're regarded as very precious to many people, and National Trust has obviously done a great deal over the last few generations. How difficult is it going to be to keep these places in the condition which they should be in, not just for people to see as museum pieces, but as the centrepieces of, you know, living communities and living areas?
Well, I think that's the key for me, is living communities and contemporary relevance and the historic the historic background, if you like, and the fact that the history is what a lot of people come here to see, that for me is the starting point, not the end point. And we try to use those advantages to try to make some of it a thriving place, a thriving business, a bit of living countryside, which of course is very much what this whole event is about as well. That the countryside is a living place where lots of people do different things.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.